For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, A Little Leaven Leavens the Whole Lump, as we pick up in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
There is a group called Jesus Only. And they believe that Jesus is the Father, He is the Son, He is the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus only. Unitarians. And they are quite zealous in their beliefs, very fervent in the proclamations of their beliefs. And I had some who were determined that they were going to convert me to their way of thinking. And I would listen to them and listen to them and listen to them. I don't really make a practice of arguing scriptures. And so I would listen to these fellows, and I listened, you know, and just said, well, yeah, that's what the scripture says, you know, when they would quote scriptures. Well, they thought that they had me convinced to their way of thinking. And so they started telling people, well, Chuck believes this. And so then I had to go out to them and say, hey, you haven't convinced me of the truth of what you're declaring. I don't believe that. And then they started to rail on me and prophesy my death and things of this nature. And so I said, all right, tell me, when Jesus was baptized, who spoke and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased? Is he a ventriloquist? When in the garden, or when on the cross, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who was he crying to? Oh, well, he laid down his divinity before he died. I said, oh, you see, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now you're, you know, chopping Jesus up and said, well, he is God here, but for a while he wasn't God, and the universe was without God for a little bit here or whatever, and, you know, I mean, you're having now, though, you've taken a position. Jesus is the only one. Now you've got to defend it against the challenges. And so you've got to start making up or taking positions that are thoroughly unscriptural in order to defend your position. And a little leaven soon leavens the whole lump. Even though it might be a minor departure from the truth, be careful. Try and stay right on course. If, when I got on board a 747 at LAX heading for Honolulu, the captain would say, now, folks, we're having a little problem here with our navigation instrument. We're about 1 degree off, but we hope to correct this in flight or something. I'd say, open the doors and let me off. If your navigational instruments are 1 degree off and you take your heading and you start for Hawaii, by the time you've gone that distance, you'll miss Hawaii by 240 miles. Oh, by the time you get to Santa Barbara, you won't even notice anything. You know, you can look down and see the Channel Islands. You can see the Santa Rosa and San Miguel and San Nicolas Islands, and you say, hey, all right, you know, we're right on course, 1 degree, and you've only gone 100 miles. You won't even notice. But you continue 1 degree off on out over the Pacific, and you can miss your destination completely. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, Paul said, I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. Now, Paul is now saying, who did hinder you, you know, in this teaching and all? But I have confidence in you that you're not going to be persuaded by this, that you're not going to be otherwise minded. But he who troubles you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now, evidently, these people were saying, well, Paul was circumcised and he's preaching circumcision. You ought to be circumcised. You know? And Paul said, hey, wait a minute, I'm not. If I preach circumcision, then why would they keep persecuting me? The offense of the cross would cease. Paul was preaching that Jesus paid the complete price for your redemption on the cross. There is nothing that you can add to what Jesus paid. That it is his sacrifice for your sins that brings you redemption and the forgiveness of sins. No effort, no work on your part. You can't do anything to buy redemption. You can't do anything to buy forgiveness. The forgiveness of your sins and your redemption is totally predicated upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. These people were adding to it. The death of Christ for you isn't sufficient. You've got to walk the tightrope. You've got to keep the law. You've got to be circumcised. The message of redemption through the cross was offensive. People were trying to add to it. And that's why Paul was persecuted by the Jews, because he was saying the law of Moses is not necessary for righteousness or for salvation. You are saved through the finished work of Jesus on the cross. The cross paid it all. Paul closes this little section on the idea of circumcision and all, and he gets a little testy with those. He said, I wish that they were even cut off, which trouble you, or literally, I wish they were castrated, who trouble you. They're trying to cause you to be circumcised. I wish they were castrated. Naughty Paul. We find that offensive in our society today, but in those days, the area of Galatia was the center of the worship of Sibyl, and the priest of Sibyl would castrate themselves. And so it was something that was quite familiar, the castration. And of the priest of this pagan god. And so the people of Galatia understood exactly what Paul was talking about. And let's go on. I could quickly get in trouble. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, but don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Again, it is not a liberty to do anything I please. It isn't a liberty to live after my flesh. That is not what Christian liberty is about. And if you have interpreted it that way, you have completely missed the message of the Scripture. You've been called unto liberty. That is liberty in Jesus Christ. Liberty from the law and from the bondage of the law, because that cannot make you righteous. But the liberty is not a liberty to indulge my flesh in anything that I may desire to do after the flesh. It is the liberty not to do those things which the flesh once forced me to do. So, do not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, the real key is love, serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So love is the fulfilling of the law. One of the lawyers one day challenged Jesus as to the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And in these are all the law and the prophets. Love is the fulfilling of the law. If I am walking in the Spirit, if I am walking in love, then there can be no law to regulate my life. You see, laws are for unprincipled people. If a person is living by right principles, he doesn't need any laws. He is governed by principles by which he lives. Laws are necessary to restrain unprincipled people. Now, if you're walking in love, supreme love for God, a supreme love for your fellow man, then there is no law. All of the law is fulfilled. For what the law is actually saying to you is that you should love God supremely and love your neighbor as yourself. That's all the law is saying to you. So, if you bite and devour one another, you better take heed. You're going to be consuming each other. Now, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. So, Paul here exhorts us to walk in the Spirit and to live after the Spirit or on the Spirit side of our lives. Now, man was created and by God as a living spirit, created by God in fellowship with God. God is a superior trinity. Man is an inferior trinity. The superior trinity is made up of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The inferior trinity is spirit, soul, and body of man. And it is in the realm of the Spirit where man meets God. That's where I come in touch with God. That's where God touches me. In my spirit, in the realm of the Spirit. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, when Adam sinned, his spirit died, just as God had warned, in the day that you eat, you will surely die. His spirit died, and Adam broke fellowship with God. For God would not fellowship with man dominated by his flesh. And of course, that's exactly what the temptation led Adam to, is fleshly domination. He saw that the tree was pleasant to look upon, it was tasty to eat, and it would make him wise as God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and they ate, giving over to their fleshly appetites. And in so doing, the flesh dominated, the flesh began to rule, and man's consciousness was now filled and absorbed with the body needs and the body appetites. God did not intend man to live that way, because man living that way is alienated from God, who is a spirit. When the emphasis of man became on the physical, fleshly side of him, he no longer was one with God, who is a spirit, and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And so in the fullness of time, God sent his Son to die for man's sin, in order that through him, man might be born again by the Spirit of God and become again a spiritual being. And so when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus faced him immediately with this issue. He said, "You've got to be born again." He said, "What do you mean? I can't go back to my mother's womb and be born again? What are you talking about?" Jesus said, "I'm not talking about that. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel when I say you've got to be born again." And Jesus talked to him about the spiritual rebirth, which takes place when a person by faith receives Christ as his Savior. There is a work of God's Spirit within his heart, and he is born of the Spirit, and now again has a spirit that is alive and is conscious of God. And this is the thing that you try to describe to people and they don't understand. The Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual understands these things, though he is not understood. And to try to explain to people the things of the Spirit, to the natural man, to try and explain the things of the Spirit, is got to be one of the most frustrating things in the world. Because you have been born of the Spirit, you can see it, you can understand it, it's as plain as can be. But because they are not born of the Spirit and have no understanding of the spiritual dimension of life, you're talking riddles to them. You're talking nonsense. It's amazing, isn't it, what difference being born of the Spirit really makes. In my attitude towards life, in my understanding of the Word of God. In so many things, suddenly, as I've been born of the Spirit, things suddenly are illuminated. Things which were once a mystery and I could not understand are now very understandable. They're just revealed by the Spirit. The truth of God to our hearts. So you has He made alive who were dead because of your trespasses and sins. Who in times past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, among whom we all had our manner of living. As we lived to fulfill the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God has made you alive in Christ Jesus. And now your spirit is alive. And your spirit being alive, again you can experience fellowship with God, the joy, the blessing of fellowshipping with God. So walk in the Spirit. That is, walk in fellowship with God. Walk on the spiritual side of your nature. And if you do, you will not be fulfilling the desires of your flesh. The flesh will not be ruling over you anymore. The fleshly desires will not be dominating your life, but your life will be dominated by the Spirit, and thus by God. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There is a warfare that goes on in the life of the believer. Once the Spirit has come alive, now there comes this striving for the mastery of me. Will I be mastered by the Spirit or will I be mastered by the flesh? If I am mastered by the flesh, then I have the mind of the flesh. That is, my mind is constantly upon fleshly things. And the mind of the flesh is alienated from God. It cannot know God. The mind of the flesh is death. But if my life is dominated by the Spirit, then I have the mind of the Spirit, and I'm thinking of God, and I'm thinking upon spiritual things. And the result is life and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. The mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and joy and peace. The warfare going on. Am I going to yield to my flesh? Or am I going to yield to the Spirit? And this comes up every day in many situations. And I have actually the choice. In this situation, I can yield to my flesh and I can blow off steam and I can get in and I can fight and I can get into the striving and the whole issue. Or I can walk after the Spirit and say, oh, Lord, it doesn't matter. Help me, Lord, to just, you know, keep the right attitude and I can just go and pass it by. And so another issue arises in 5 minutes. Oh, he did that 5 minutes. Oh, right, you know. And I can choose whether or not to walk in the flesh or then again to commit it and walk after the Spirit. You see, it isn't a once and forever kind of a thing. It is once that I've reckoned myself to be crucified with Christ when I accepted Him. I was crucified with Christ, but now I have to reckon it. In so many situations every day. Hey, that old nature, that old Chucky's dead. Let him alone. Don't revive him. Crucify with Christ. Reckon that to be. That's just my old flesh that's upset. That's my old prideful nature. That's the old nature that wants its way, that wants to insist on its own way and all. That's the old nature. Reckon that to be dead. That died with Christ. It doesn't really matter. I'm going to walk after the Spirit and I'm going to please God in this. I'm going to walk in love. And so I have to reckon the old man to be dead each day, and oftentimes, many times through the day. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary. And I do not always walk after the Spirit. There are times when I lapse into the flesh. I get an attitude that is not of the Lord. I say something that is not of the Lord. But you know what happens? Immediately the Spirit speaks to me and says, that was wrong. Yeah, but I had a right to do it. And I'll argue with him for a while. You don't know how long I've been taking it, Lord. I tried. And he'll keep dealing with me until I'll finally say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness and for your love and for your grace to me. And I'm washed and I'm cleansed. And I go on. You see, I don't always do the things that I would. But when I do fail, the Spirit is right there. And that's why I know I'm a child of God. You see, if I weren't a child of God, he would just let me go. He wouldn't bother correcting me. It's sort of comforting. You know, David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was the thing the shepherd used to hit the sheep on the flanks when it started getting out, you know, roaming out. All right, I'm still one of his sheep, you know. He's just whacked me with a rod. Oh, I'm comforted by that. I'm still his child. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives.
Looking to build a stronger home or encourage someone else to do the same? The Word for Today is excited to offer the Marriage and Family MP3 series, a powerful collection of teachings from Pastor Chuck Smith, filled with biblical wisdom and real-life encouragement. In this series, Pastor Chuck shares God's timeless truth for relationships, covering the blessings of both personal and marital life, as well as scriptural roles of husbands and wives. You'll hear messages like the husband's role, the wife's role, sweetening up a sour relationship, training our children, and more. Whether you're newly married, raising kids, or simply wanting to invest in your relationships, this series is for you. And it's a great gift for family members or friends who could use a little extra encouragement in their home life. Order the Marriage and Family MP3 series today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
May the Lord bless and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord work in your life this week in a special way, bringing forth victory out of seeming defeat, revealing that way when there seems to be no way. And may you experience God's hand upon your life as He trains, as He teaches, as He develops His work of love and grace within your life, as He prepares you for the future and for those things that He wants you to possess of His grace and of His glory. May the Lord strengthen you and cause your life to be a witness for Him. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Galatians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Galatians 5. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.